to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 123 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Well, what off weekend? There's no off weekend. We're ready to go racing this weekend. But that said, hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope you had a great Easter weekend. Weekend for us, man, pretty routine. Friday did the routine walk up to the bar, met up with the local regulars, as we tend to do on Fridays. Saturday, the wife did a girls thing, so my buddy Zaylin and I went out to some old stomping grounds. And Sunday, spent some time with the family, obviously. I was talking on Twitter with B. Wayne, as you all know who that is, I'm sure, talking about how, you know, this is a true off weekend. And it's, you know, what do you do with yourself with a true off weekend? No racing to watch across all three series. But the good news is that now that this weekend is over, this was the only weekend throughout the entire season where all three series are off. From now till Homestead, we got at least one series running each weekend. So we can move forward knowing that we got racing from now till November. So that's awesome. All right. Today's show format going to be a little different than the typical format, mainly because there isn't any racing to recap. But that said, I've been saying it, the trucks are off, but they are not on lap traffic. I am doing my best to represent the truck series during this off month, and tonight is no different. Not one, not two, but all three truck drivers from Young Motorsports, Spencer Boyd, Gus Dean, Tyler Dipple, will be calling into the show, which I am so excited about. I'll mix those interviews in throughout the usual show formats. Preview Dega a little bit, social media shout outs. Aaron's calling in after his off week. So there's no lucky dog lap down picks because there was no racing. So I thought, why not? Let's highlight where the standings are at with that fantasy to close it out. And I'm ready to get things rolling. All right. I am not going to waste any time. I am going to get the first interview popped in here for you guys right now with Mr. Spencer Boyd. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 20 Silverado with Young Motorsports, Spencer Boyd. Spencer, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. Excited to be on.
Excellent. Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. How was your Easter weekend?
It was good. You know, it's cool that NASCAR observes that and takes a little time off and lets everyone drivers, crew members, everyone kind of take a break and go enjoy time with their friends and family. And I hung out here in the Charlotte Mooresville area and had some good food and just kind of hung out with the fam.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it is cool that NASCAR recognizes, holidays across, whether it's time off or to celebrate like racing on the 4th of July or Memorial Weekend. I think it's awesome how NASCAR embraces and celebrates holidays and traditions within its race year. I think that's awesome.
For sure. We definitely have a long season, so it comes with a lot of that.
Absolutely, right? So, man, it feels like forever since Texas when you guys were last on the track. From a team perspective, what have you guys been doing and working on during this off month, basically?
Yeah, it's I love the truck series and I love the way the schedule is. You know, there's times that I miss being at the racetrack for sure. But what I love most about the schedule is you go start off at Daytona and you run that super speedway and you got an idea what kind of speed you have for that. Then you go click off a couple mile and a half and then you go to a short track. So it really allows you to take that month off and evaluate your program, figure out what you need to work on. And we finished fourth at Daytona. All of our trucks showed great speed down there. So I think our speedway program is really good. Our short track program, we had a really good truck in Martinsville and just a rough day there with spark plug wires. So I think what we struggle with is the mile and a half. So we've been at the wind tunnel. My crew chief Panda's been working well with the other crew chiefs about their packages and just working together on how we can make Young's Motorsports better at the mile and a half. And I know we're excited to go run Kansas and Charlotte here coming up, but we got Dover, and I'm a short track guy. So this time off, it allows you time to think about things and get souped up and ready to go, but I can't wait to get back to the racetrack.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, all right, so you kind of you mentioned the schedule there, and the way you phrased it there, kind of like it made me think like, all right, those first few are kind of like the Truck Series preseason, you know, get a little almost testing in real life mode, so to speak, and then go work on it and come back. So that said, you know, you guys did have an 11th at Texas, which is not too bad for, you know, intermediate track, if you will, there. But what tracks, you know, the truck summer months are really exciting. You know, you've got a lot of short tracks, Motorsports Park, all that. What track over the summer are you most excited to get to?
For me, I've had a lot of success racing at Iowa. I've had good runs there in the Xfinity car. I've ran there three times, so never in a truck, but I love short track racing. It's going to be cool to get back to my hometown of St. Louis, but when it comes to short track racing, Iowa is a spectacle. If you're a race fan and you're out there in the Midwest, one of those states near Iowa, I definitely highly recommend going to the Iowa race.
You know, it's been fun to watch that. You know, I think it's awesome what NASCAR does with Iowa in terms of a truck and Xfinity weekend there. I think that's cool, a cool feature. And they've been some pretty decent races to watch across both series the last couple of years. But, yeah, like you said, got to get out to the track, man.
Absolutely. It's fun. Iowa is a cool place. Like, when you walk in, the grandstands are, like, down in a bowl. So it's like you walk up to the grandstands and everything's ground level, and then you like sit down inside. So it's a unique experience. And I watched the truck races and K&N races while I was there with Xfinity, and it produces good racing.
That's awesome. So real quick, this is your first full-time season in the truck series. You ran full-time Xfinity last year, but clue the listeners in a little bit on your racing background, how you got to the Xfinity and truck series.
Yeah, much like a lot of other drivers at this level, you know, you start out in go-karts. And for me, I started out racing go-karts with my mom and dad, you know, taking me to the racetrack when I was 5 years old back in St. Louis, Missouri. So Midwest guy, grew up racing all over the country, racing go-karts and won a lot of championships and had some success with my dad, you know, kind of crew chiefing or running the whole operation, and moved to North Carolina when I was 14. To kind of chase the racing deal, and moved into Legend Cars, ran that all over the country and had some success, and then moved into the late models. And I only ran 21 late model races before I got into NASCAR, and I had won 18 of them. So that really
– That's awesome. That's so cool.
It's you know, it took a lot of people believing in me and my parents, a lot of sacrifice. So people ask me, they're like, man, how'd you win that many races? I'm like, man, I was so worried that I'd never run again that if I kept winning, maybe the guy would keep putting me in the car. And,
how could you not, right?
Yeah, so it worked out. And, you know, a lot of things fell my way and kept me racing. And got my first truck start in Mittler Brothers, which is a St. Louis, you know, Missouri team. And being from St. Louis, that was pretty cool. And Mike's not in real good health right now, Mike Mittler. So we're always thinking of him, and it's really cool that I got to drive for a team, get my start with the same team that Carl Edwards and Jamie McMurray and other Missouri guys got their start with. So I did that at Martinsville Speedway, and
that's cool.
Ran a lot of races since then.
That's awesome. So talk a little bit about the dynamic at Young Motorsports. You know, you, Gus, Tyler, it's all three of yours first full-time season in the truck series. I'm sure there's lots of learning, mistakes obviously expected to be made in situations like that. But what's the team building, if you will, with three fresh guys running full-time first year?
Yeah, I think you couldn't have three more polar opposite type people. It's crazy. You know, my background coming from a full season of Xfinity, not a lot of truck experience, no ARCA or K&N experience. That's, you know, the Spencer Boyd you know, path.
Sure.
And then you have Gus, who ran ARCA. We're about the same age, 23, he's 24. He's ran a ton of ARCA stuff and had success. And then you got Dipple, who is 18 years old, and he's ran a handful of K&N, and here he is. You know, a lot of people never heard of him, and he's 18 years old. So Gus and I are close in age, and Dipple's got a really good opportunity, and he's driving the O2 truck, which that's kind of built Young's Motorsports.
Sure.
And I'm at the 20, and Gus is bringing up the 12. And it's really cool that Young's Motorsports has grown. Tyler and his family have put so much money in the sport and so much time, and really done it the right way. And I think that's the thing is, in this sport, you got to grow, but you got to grow slow and keep it manageable. And they got a heck of an operation, and I'm lucky to be a part of it. But just the ongoing education that they have and all they put into it, it's really cool. And we all three get along well, and they're testing Charlotte. I'm not, but they're testing Charlotte tomorrow, and I'll have a headset on and be hanging out with them.
That's awesome. Very cool, man. All right. So speaking of Gus, Gus is calling in next. So I'm going to give you the shot. Give me a good question that'll catch Gus off guard that I need to ask him. What is a must know that I got to ask Gus?
Must know. Got to think. Ask him about scooter riding in Daytona.
Scooter riding Daytona. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Spencer, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, man. You got me on Twitter at Spencer Boyd, Instagram at Spencer Boyd PR, and Facebook, Spencer Boyd Racing fan page, and just launched our t-shirts on there. So appreciate all the support, and thanks for having me on, man.
Awesome, man. So anytime, you're more than welcome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Spencer Boyd, driver the number 20 Silverado with Young Motorsports. Thanks so much for calling in tonight, man. This was fun, and good luck in Dover in a couple weeks, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Very cool to kick things off with Spencer Boyd there. And I'll break fourth wall here and give a little teaser. Like I said, you know, I record a lot of the interviews either prior to the show. Sometimes timing works out to where I can work them into where I do them right when they play on the show, so to speak. But tonight I definitely recorded all three interviews before the show. And I will tell you, you guys are going to laugh your butts off when you hear Gus Dean's response to the question that I should ask Spencer Boyd. So that's awesome. Had a great time talking with Spencer. I got Tyler and Gus coming on here in just a little bit. But I thought, why not? Got a little extra time since there's no racing to actually recap. You know, let's look at the standings a little bit. So in the truck series, we've got Stuart Friesen, Grant Enfinger, Ben Rhodes, Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, Matt Crafton, Austin Hill, and Todd Gilliland are wrapping out the top eight. So when I look at the standings in the truck series, you know, top eight, kind of maybe as expected. But man, you look in ninth and 10th, you got Harrison Burton, only 1 point out of eighth, sitting in ninth right now. You got rookie Sheldon Creed in 10th, only 15 points out below the cut line right now. So you got two rookies right there. And you got a third rookie in 11th, Tyler Dipple, who's going to be on here in just a little bit. You know, you got rookies making noise. You got Spencer Boyd, who you just heard, is in 12th. And Gus Dean, who will be on later in 17th. And I say that because if you look at the playoff points out of the top eight, Austin Hill is the only truck driver series regular with a win in the top eight. And Johnny Sauter and Grant Enfinger are the only two with one playoff point. You know, so if any one of these guys can knock off a couple good races, man, it could be anyone's ballgame in terms of still being able to make the playoffs here in the truck series. It is wide open. Five races in, which you think, oh, man, we're only five races in. But the regular season for the truck series is only 15 races. So we're a third of the way through the regular season for the truck series. So it's I'm not out of line, I don't think, in talking about it from that perspective. All right, let's look at the Xfinity standings while we're at it. And don't forget, this Sunday at Talladega, Dash for Cash resumes. The top four from Richmond. Cole Custer is going to be going for two in a row. Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, and Tyler Reddick will be racing for the Dash for Cash. In the standings, Tyler Reddick is in first, Christopher Bell in second, Colt Custer in third. We've got Austin Cindric in fourth, Justin Allgaier in fifth, John Hunter Nemechek in sixth, Michael Annette seventh, Chase Briscoe eighth, Ryan Sieg ninth, Noah Gregson 10th, Justin Haley 11th, and Brandon Jones wraps out the top 12 for the cut line in the Xfinity Series. You know, when I look at the Xfinity Series, I'm not really surprised in terms of who's in the standings from a, you know, top 12 perspective and who's not. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, there could be someone 13th on back that might be able to go steal one at one of the road courses, maybe, which might shake things up a tad. But I think, you know, with the fact that the Xfinity Series lets 12 guys in, I think that pretty much lets those top teams that would have a shot go out there. You know, I don't think there's not too many Xfinity guys that are out there competing on a weekly basis that are going to miss from that regard in terms of not making it from those that we would expect anyway. I think the one thing I am surprised is, you know, eight races in and we've got five race wins from Xfinity regulars. That's fantastic. I do not believe, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am, but I do not believe we had five Xfinity wins by series regulars eight races in last year. So that's kind of cool to see. I do like that, which is awesome. And don't forget, Saturday, 1 o'clock, we're going to Talladega for the Dash for Cash in the Xfinity Series. All right. Let's move over to the Cup Series standings. Kyle Busch dominating right now in first, 20-point lead over Joey Logano, but has a massive stage point lead over him. In fact, Joey Logano, second in points, would actually line up fourth right now in the standings if they were to reseed. Denny Hamlin in third, Kevin Harvick in fourth, Keselowski fifth, Martin Truex in sixth, Kurt Busch in seventh, Bowyer in eighth, Blaney nine, Chase Elliott wraps out the top 10. Eric Almirola is currently in 11th, and we got Daniel Suarez in 12th, Jimmy Johnson 13th, Austin Dillon 14th, Ryan Newman 15th, and Paul Menard wraps out the top 16 in the Cup Series. And if I'm looking at the standings in the Cup Series, there is one, I think, distinct and notable name missing from the top 16. And I think it's just one. And we all know who that is. That's Kyle Larson. And he's not even in 17th. He is in 19th, which I think is a surprise to everyone. You know, speed with the Chevys obviously been an issue, but, you know, not to be even in the top 16, they've had some issues and some bad luck, you know, which is playing a role there a little bit. But, you know, for Kyle Larson to be in 19th, I am shocked nine races in that they are that far back in the standings, you know. So that's my surprise team that's not in. You know, you could look, I think, at 14th, 15th, or 16th, and Dylan Newman or Paul Menard. Obviously, if Larson's in, one of those guys would not be in. And, you know, I know everyone gets on Ryan Newman, but dude's been on a tear as of late, getting some solid performances. So I'm not surprised based on how he's been running. Might be a little shocked that Austin Dillon is currently in the top 16 in standings. You know, so I think those two would probably be my flip-flop. If you would have said, hey, who's not going to be in? It would not have been Kyle Larson. And if you were to ask me who would have been in this far through, I don't think I would have maybe said Austin Dillon. So that's where we're at this Sunday, 2 o'clock, Talladega, first restrictor plate since the 500. What kind of mayhem are we going to see? Well, we are just going to have to find out on Sunday. And all right, how about I get to the second interview of the night with Young Motorsports, and let's dial up Mr. Tyler Dipple. And Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 02 Silverado with Young Motorsports, Tyler Dipple. Tyler, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. So how was your Easter weekend before we get rolling with things?
It was good. I went back home to New York, spent some good time with friends and family. And now I'm back in North Carolina, ready to go racing again.
Awesome. Very cool. What part of New York?
The Hudson Valley area. Okay. Walkhill.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, from a team perspective, what have you guys been working on during this off stretch here, month of April? I was talking with Spencer earlier, man, it feels like forever since Texas.
We're just trying to get our mile and a half program better. I think that's as a team perspective, that's probably our weakest point. But they've been working on it, and we're going to go test a mile and a half. So it's looking good.
That's good. Well, you know, so 2019, couple solid races at Atlanta and Texas, for your team specifically, which is a mile and a half, tracks, which is good. But talk about the first five races, for you guys as a whole for 2019.
I feel like every place we've been seeing growth, and we just got to work on executing a little bit better as a team. I feel like we hit on something finally with a package chassis wise that I like, me and my crew chief Chad Kendrick, which I was really happy about. And it's just taken us some time to get to know each other, but I think from here on out we should start running quite a bit better.
Awesome. So you've had five starts in the Truck Series last year, a few ARCA starts here and there, but your bread and butter has been the K&N East Series. I want to get your thoughts on what you think about the potential with NASCAR acquiring ARCA and what kind of relationships can be built and what things we might be able to look forward to with ARCA and both K&N Series.
Are they combining them both? Like, what was the deal with that?
Well, so I know NASCAR acquired the ARCA series, and there was some talks about maybe, you know, running some joint races in, you know, where in through the East and the West series there, where you might have all three potentially running or able to go run, which I thought that was unique. I thought it was pretty cool. Like, you've got the ARCA series that was kind of standalone, and then you had NASCAR that had its K&N East and West series. So if they were able to kind of promote with all three there, I thought that might be a pretty cool experience and some unique racing to go watch.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. I mean, the K&N cars and the ARCA car, everything's exactly the same except the motor. I think they should just combine them so there's more cars at all these tracks that they go to.
And well, that's kind of been the thing. Like, fields have been smaller throughout the country across all racing. Obviously, you know, it's an expensive sport. So, yeah, I like that. You know, if you're able to, get a feel to where qualifying, you know, hey, it could make a difference, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I mean, they're the same race car. You might as well just combine them together.
Absolutely. So tell everyone a little bit about your racing career, how you got into racing, how you eventually got to the K&N series, and now with Young Motorsports.
Yeah, I grew up dirt racing in the Northeast. Big block and small block modifieds was mainly my background before I started asphalt racing. And then a couple years ago, ran a year of super late models in the Pass-South series, finished second in points in that. And then the last couple years, I've been running the K&N East series, and just last year finished second in the championship, just barely missed it.
That's awesome.
And then this year is going to be a first full year of trucks, to sum it up pretty quick, with a big Northeast big block modified dirt background.
Nice. Did you run the super dirt car series?
Yeah, I ran it on and off. I never ran the full tour, but I ran a lot of it. Yeah,
so I saw those guys run twice at Eldora. Did you run that any of the big blocks at Eldora when they were there for the truck?
I've never ran Eldora in a big block, actually, now.
Those cars, man, I've never seen anything like those cars. Those are incredible races to watch, though, man. Those things are loud, fast, big. Man, that was a fun race to watch. I wish they ran a little bit closer to the Metro Detroit area, because I would go and watch a big block modified race.
Yeah, they're super fun. They're awesome race cars. I think they're going to Eldora with the trucks this year, actually. I think that might be something.
Yeah, they've done that the last couple years. That's where that was my first experience seeing those guys, was at the Eldora truck race.
Yeah, they've been trading on and off with the UMP style modifieds were there last year, but I think the big blocks are coming back this year.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's so cool. So talk about the dynamic a little bit at Young Motorsports. You know, all three of you guys are running your first full-time series in the trucks. You know, Spencer highlighted on a little bit. He mentioned, too, you guys working on the mile-and-a-half program. But what's your take on the overall team and the optimism going forward for the rest of 2019?
You know, I think everyone's spirits are pretty bright over there, you know. If you look at the past couple of years, the team's on an upward swing, and they just keep growing and getting better and better every single year. So they're working really hard over there, and everything just keeps getting better every week, you know, because there's a lot of guys that want to do good over there. And, you know, it's exciting to see that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What are you looking forward to going to Dover, the Monster Mile this weekend? I'm sorry, not this weekend, 2 weeks. That race just in and of itself is a beast. But watching the trucks fly around that mile, that race is like a short track. I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go short track racing where you really got to be up on the wheel the whole entire time. That place is probably one of my favorite places to go. It's an awesome racetrack. It's badass, that place.
I couldn't agree more, man. It is definitely appropriately named. I love that. Tyler, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
You guys could follow me on Facebook at Tyler Dipple Racing. And Instagram and Twitter at Tyler Dipple.
That's awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Tyler for coming on the show tonight. Driver, the number 2 Silverado with Young Motorsports, man. Had a blast. Good luck in a couple weeks at Dover, and talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Very cool to talk with Tyler there. Had 2 Tylers back-to-back, 2 young Tylers on. And Tyler Ankrum last week, Tyler Dipple this week. It's so cool hearing the stories about, you know, how these guys got started, how young they were. It's just incredible and awesome to hear those stories. And I think what amazes me the most is just how poised and put together, like, you know, these 18, 19-year-olds are. I was not like that at 18, 19. I will tell you that right now. Like, man, the respect and just, like I said, how well these guys carry themselves is just incredible. And it's awesome to see, you know, that's really cool. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, let's continue on here. It is time for a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Follow on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, wherever you listen. Just search Lap Traffic or NASCAR and you will see the show. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress. Throw in a Lap Traffic t-shirt. Less than 150 to go on Twitter. So please continue to retweet. And thank you for all of the retweets and all that good stuff. Over to some new followers on Twitter. Wyatt at WildmanWilly99, big NASCAR fan and a late model racing. The Stupendous Yappy at a NASCAR NAC, a NASCAR hockey fan and dad of 3. Racing Girls Rock at IWMAN Nation, the International Women's Motorsports Association, founded by Melinda Russell from Kazoo, Michigan, my home state. I love it. That's awesome. And Bob Dillner, broadcaster and owner of Speed51.com. Thank you for the follow. Appreciate that, guys. Don't forget to go check out Toby Christie's website, who also hosts the Lap Traffic podcast, which is awesome. Love just the fact of the show can be found in many spots, and it's just great, the NASCAR community working together. Don't forget to check out the website. You want a t-shirt or hoodie, travel mug, all that's out there. And if you want a sticker or koozie, drop me a message on the website on the contact page with your address, and I will send one out to you. And don't forget, April is Autism Awareness Month. Go check out, support the Autism link on the website. Find out about Freddie, the pizza man, and his 501 charity for autism, and all of the awesome things that his charity is doing in Metro Detroit. Go donate if you can. Put Lap Traffic in the message so that that helps support Yonker Motorsports in the process with Freddie's sponsorship with them as well. And go check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment, who also I am proud to be a part of their podcasting network there at Michigan Sports ENT. All right. Business is done. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. Lap Traffic Nation back for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing well, sir, and yourself?
Excellent, thank you. So you had an off week, kind of. You were on the show, but you didn't have to work while you were on the show last week. So
yes, but I had a lot of fun on the show. That was...
It was fun. We had a fun time last week. That's for sure. So how was your Easter? All that good stuff.
It was nice. Spent it with family. Saw my sister. Spent time with Alex. Unfortunately, I had to work that afternoon. It's kind of the disadvantage of being operational, Matt. I know other people worked as well. So, but yes, I got the time with Alex. Very nice. And then got a nice stash of leftovers for later meals.
Excellent. Fantastic. Nothing wrong with that. That's... I tell you, sometimes I look more forward around the holidays, like, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, to the turkey sandwich more so than the actual turkey right out of the roaster. Yeah. Call me crazy.
No, I agree with you. Turkey right out of the roaster, especially if I'm the one taking care of the bird, basing the bird, carving the bird. I sit down and I'm like, I think I'll have a vegetarian or pass me the ham. I just can't eat the turkey at that point.
Well, for me, you know, I'm picking pieces off here, and you know, so it's not like it's, I've had turkey all day, basically, you know. Like, I don't.
All right, it's just it's not a treat. It's just right. Sort of a chore.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's see here. So you ran a poll about Talladega, sir. How were the results on that poll?
Well, the poll actually stated, "I'm excited about Talladega. I'm enthused." What does everybody else think? Is Dega going to be a great race or misplaced enthusiasm? 82% of the respondents said they're expecting a good race. What do you expect?
Ooh, are you asking me specifically?
I am asking you. Yeah, I'm asking you for your opinion.
All right. So I think Dega has had some interesting races the last couple of years. You know, we saw the... I believe it was the spring Dega race last year that saw all four Stewart Haas cars just like pull off into like this train of their own ahead of the entire field. That was unique. So I thought that made it interesting. It's no secret. Me and plate racing have a love hate relationship. You know, I love the Daytona 500, if it wasn't for the tore up cars, it'd be awesome, I think. You know, so if they can keep it clean for the most part and everyone can mind their own business, then yeah, it should be a great race. But something tells me that, you know, we might see 25 of them piled up somewhere with about 27 to go. I don't know. So,
yeah.
So it might be great up until then.
Yes, people will start getting antsy. And, yes. You know, it's funny. I'm not sure what percentage of those respondents would count in, hey, look, we're going to have the big one. That makes it an interesting race. And I don't want anybody hurt. You know, seeing so much equipment tore up. I just want to see good competitive racing. the ability to pass.
Yes.
The ability to pass for the lead.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. You know, you want people to be able to pass. You don't want the big one. And you don't want them to go out for stages one and two and just run single file for the first 15. You know, and that's potentially what we could get. If not, I'll be
pleasantly
surprised, you know. So from that regard, like, you know, I'm excited. You know, we had an off week. I'm ready to watch racing. I'm ready to talk racing. I'm ready to live tweet. Like, I'm excited for what race weekend brings, you know, but I'm not holding this to be, you know, the granddaddy of them all for 2019. If that's a fair way to put it in an objective.
I can live, work with that.
So how about you? Well, you said you're optimistic. You're looking forward to it, yes?
Yeah, I'm actually off that day, and I can sit home, and I want to be like you. I'll be live tweeting, and I'll give a little bit of it away. I don't have to look. I won't be worrying about the radar.
Fair enough.
But the thing I've got to master yet is being able to tweet and watch the race and not lose track of one or the other.
You know, it can be a little. I'll be honest. Sometimes live tweeting, you know, it takes away a little bit from the race because, you know, you're typing away. I used to do it on my phone, and I can't do that anymore. Like trying to type on the phone and all that. So I got the laptop sitting on the lap, you know, reclined in the chair, and it makes it a lot easier, you know, because then I can even jot some notes down to make sure if something happens that I want to talk about. On the show, and it makes life a lot more easy. So that's how I roll for the races.
Well, sounds good. Looks like we're get a little bit of, like I said, get a little bit of it away, and looks good for Sunday if we want to kind of go back and start from the beginning.
Let's roll right into it. So the PETM podcast is headed out to Talladega. So, you know, everyone, I don't care if Aaron says that it's going to be sunny all 3 days, bring a poncho just because PETM is going. But that said, how are we looking for this weekend?
Would you happen to know what day they're going?
I do not know what day they're heading out, no.
Because we do have a chance of showers Thursday night into Friday morning. So if they're going out for that, they may actually see rain. However, clearing skies on Friday, no chance of rain on Friday during the day, so all on track, things will be good, and that includes the ARCA race Friday night at 6 local. High of 77, low of 64, breezy conditions behind a cold front. That will be the coolest day of the weekend. Roll on the Saturday, ridge of high pressure moves over the region. Sunny skies, high of 82, morning low of 55. It's just going to be generally nice. Sunday, partly cloudy skies, morning low 61, daytime high of 80. And I'm hoping for good racing in that forecast as well.
That's fantastic. That sounds great.
Yeah, so we get a little of the PETM influence early.
Right. Well, hey. That's
with some rain.
You know what? In all fairness and kidding aside, they deserve a break. They deserve to be able to get one in, man.
But, yeah, they should be. It might be a little muddy for the partying down in down in the infield, but I think that may just actually be welcomed by some people in there.
I would not be a bit surprised. Absolutely. All right, so since you're on now, might as well let everybody know, big show coming up next week. There's a guest that I'll talk about later in the show, but I am excited to announce that next week not only will Race a Weather Aaron Studwell be on the show, but Brian Newdorf will also be joining at the same time. Who knows what could happen when you get two meteorologists on the mic together. We will find out next week. I'm very excited about that, sir.
You'll generally get three different forecasts if you get two meteorologists together.
That's a good one. I like that. That was funny. So everyone, stay tuned to that. Aaron and Brian are going to call in a little early too. We're going to talk some racing. And since it's the first time next week that we'll have to do three weather reports as all three series are going to be running at Dover, I had to warm Aaron back up and had to get him a little help. So Brian and Aaron are going to split the weather duties next week for Dover. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. Sir, pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Always great to catch up with Aaron. And you guys know what barking dogs mean. It is time for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment this week. You know the drill. After the checkered flag drops, you can tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks from the race weekend, or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538, and you can leave them there, and I will play them and read your tweets back on the show. Since there was not any racing this weekend, I thought I would recap where the standings are at with the Lucky Dog and Lap Down tallies that I'm keeping track of this year throughout the whole year. And that said, so I'm categorizing some of the responses. Like, for example, if someone's Lucky Dog is downforce, that's getting grouped under the rules package, for example, just to kind of, you know, standardize it a little bit to make it a little easier to tally and not so many to keep track of. That said, there have been 38 different Lucky Dog nominations and 47 different Lap Down picks throughout the year. All right, let's see where we currently stand. Over for the Lucky Dogs, top five. I'm going to give it the top five Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks currently. So coming in at number five with 7 Lucky Dog picks is Mr. Denny Hamlin. Also tied with 7 is Team Penske. Strong push last couple weeks up to 4th with Lucky Dog picks. With 8 of them is Jimmy Johnson. 10 picks for our third place right now for the Lucky Dogs. And that's NASCAR fans. In 2nd place with 16 Lucky Dog nominations so far this year is Mr. Brad Keselowski. And running away with it. Right now in 1st place with 18 picks. No pun intended there. Can you guess who that is? It is Mr. Kyle Busch. So that's where we are currently at with the Lucky Dog picks this year. Over to the Lap Downs. Three-way tie currently in 5th right now with 5 picks each. Kyle Larson, the fans, and Pit Road. I love the fact how sometimes, man, the fans are the Lucky Dogs, and the fans are the Lap Down picks there. And also, pretty ironic that Penske is in the Lucky Dog top five. Team Penske is also in the Lap Down top five currently, coming in at 4th with 6. Also ironic, I think, here. We got a three-way tie for 3rd currently with 7. Jimmy Johnson is in the Lap Down race right now in the top 5, as well as the racing itself also coming in 3rd with 7 picks as well. The rules package is in 2nd with the Lap Down picks, currently with 8. And NASCAR itself is currently in 1st with Lap Downs with 9 picks. So that's where we were at. Continue to send your Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks, and I will read them and play them and tag you guys. It's one of my favorite segments. I love it. And all right. Before I get to fantasy, how about we get our third interview of the night with Mr. Gus Dean. One, a Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver of the number 12 Silverado with Young Motorsports. Gus Dean, Gus, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm great. I sure appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming on. So I got to loop everybody in on a little funny story from last week. So last week, I'm getting ready to record. I had Tyler Ankrum call in at 6 o'clock, and it's like 5:45, and the phone's ringing. I'm like, man, no one is ever 15 minutes early. So I answer the phone, and it took me like 20 seconds before I realized, Gus, you were a week early for calling in.
I was. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I got there plenty of time to prepare and everything was ready to go.
I appreciate that. So welcome back for Gus 2.0 on the Lap Traffic Podcast. So, hey, how was your Easter?
It was great. It was great. I got to go home and see a lot of family, a lot of guys I haven't been able to see in a long time, friends and such. And I had a great time. Ended up staying an extra day and didn't get back till late last night. So, you know, I'm learning I'm not not quite able to bounce back after an all-night drive like I used to be able to, but I sound old. I'm 24 years old. I sound like I'm 80, right? But but yeah, I was struggling a little bit today we actually ended up getting back around 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday. They had some traffic here on 77, which I swear to God, I don't think there is never not traffic on I-77, but got through there, got home, got some stuff done I needed to get done today, and looking forward to going actually to Talladega in the ARCA race this weekend.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Let's jump to that. Since you mentioned ARCA, that was kind of like your go-to. You've got a lot of ARCA experience. What's been the hardest part transitioning from ARCA, where you've run full time the last couple of years, to the Truck Series?
Well, you know, it's been an exciting change. Yeah, I'm really, really thankful to LG Air Conditioning Technologies and Young Motorsports and everything that they've done for me this year, moving up into the trucks. It's been a blast. I've had so much fun working with Tyler, working with Jeff Stankiewicz, and just really learning these trucks. I think the biggest adjustment for me was just the aero, you know, how to work the trucks in the air, how you can affect other trucks in the air. It's the same principles as it is in the ARCA cars. It's just so much more exaggerated. If you get to somebody's right rear in an ARCA car, you can get them a little loose and maybe mess up that lap. If you get to somebody's right rear in a truck, you can just flat spin them out. We have what's called surging at certain tracks. Michigan, your home track, would be a prime example. When we get in the draft, these cars and these trucks are at terminal velocity around a lot of places, such as Michigan and other large tracks like that. So when we have the downforce and the aerodynamic drag taken off of the cars, when there's another car in front of us, obviously we gain a lot of speed, and that rush of speed that we get when we get tucked up in the air is what we call the surge. Now it was a little bit so in ARCA, you know, you obviously would catch that draft, you use the surge, you pull up, and you would use it to your advantage. And in the trucks, the surge is so powerful. I mean, it feels like you're reaching over and grabbing another gear, and it can catch you by surprise sometimes if you're not ready for it. So
that's crazy.
So learning those and learning the techniques and, you know, adjusting to what I've learned in the ARCA cars as far as manipulating the air transfer over to the trucks has been the biggest challenge, but also the most fun.
That's awesome. So I got to ask. So you mean you wouldn't want to just like get up to someone's right rear and just and slide them up the track, right?
Well, I mean, you know, that depends. That depends. If he did it to me the lap before, maybe, for sure. Right? But, you know, if they're a nice guy and we've had a lot of fun racing, after that point, then no, that probably just be an accident.
First five races ever in the truck, like no teaser last year with a couple. This first full-time truck, first five races ever in a truck. Talk about what it was like, you know, Daytona, Atlanta. I mean, you guys hit some incredible tracks. What was that experience like for you?
Bad luck. we've had some really fast trucks, you know. I mean, I really don't think our finishes have reflected the efforts or the performance that this program has put forward. At Daytona, we were passing for the lead with a lap to go, two laps to go, and then ended up getting taken out. And it just running into some bad luck there. We started in the back of Texas this last race. And we were in 30 laps. We went from 26, I think we were, to 13th, and we were really making a charge and just got collected in an unfortunate incident. And I mean, just that seems to be our that's getting to be a little bit of a cliche. We're really getting tired of saying that. But, luck changes and stuff happens. But as long as we're pulling like we have been and our performance stays in the same direction it has been, I really think when that luck changes, we're really going to have something to show. And I think it's going to be a good time.
Awesome. All that said, is there any track that you're like, hell yeah, I can't wait to get here? Or, oh man, I do not want to go there.
I mean, you know, I'm really looking forward to Dover this coming weekend, or excuse me, next weekend.
Yeah, I know. It's like, come on, let's get here already.
Yeah, I know. I've always wanted to go to Dover. I've always thought it was like a really cool track. I had heard everybody say how intense it was, and it can be really intimidating, but I've always really wanted to go there. And so being able to go there for the first time in the truck, I think it's going to be really exciting. Looking forward to Michigan. Actually, I loved Michigan and the ARCA cars. It's just so, so fast.
Yeah.
You know, obviously one of the fastest tracks we go to all year, and being in the trucks with the added downforce when we're by ourselves and the less drag force when we're not by ourselves, I think it's going to make for a really crazy race and a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it as well.
Well, Ben Rhodes let me in on a little secret last year at Michigan. And I'm going to let you in on that secret. He says you just close your eyes and hold on tight going into turn one.
That's exactly right. That's exactly it.
All right. So I had Spencer called in a little bit ago, and I asked him a question that I just have to ask you. And he said that you need to tell everybody about the scooter riding at Daytona.
No, you know, Spencer. Yeah. Hey, but remember what we were talking about riding down on somebody's right rear? Yeah. If you really don't like them?
That's going to change.
Yeah. We went down to Daytona, and I mean, honestly, I should have known better just because it would have been par for the course. But we got wrecked going for the lead on the last lap of the ARCA race. Got, you know, taken out. I ended up going to the super late model event in New Smyrna. Got taken out there. Messed up my car. Couldn't race anymore the rest of that week. So we kind of just were hanging out on the beach when we were supposed to be racing, waiting for the truck race to come. And they had these little two-seater, three-wheeled moped things. Okay. And so I rented one of these. And, you know, believe it or not, like, you know, you give a race car driver a scooter or something like that, and it's like, oh, God, you know, he's going to kill himself because we're not the brightest human beings in the world when it comes to getting on motorized objects. But I really wasn't. I was acting, honestly, somewhat sensible, which was, you know, a big breakthrough for me because normally I'm not. And I ended up going through this red light. I had a green light. An F-150 came through.
Oh, wow.
Dan Forge, right? I mean, if it had been a Chevy guy, he would have had sense to stop. But anyway, so he goes through the red light, and I had to snatch the brake and turn the wheel to keep from running underneath this truck. Luckily enough, I had a friend of mine with me. I was able to kind of push her out before any of this happened, so she just kind of like rolled through the grass and she was fine. She hurt her ankle a little bit. The go-kart flipped over, like barrel rolled pretty much three times.
Wow.
And skin up my arms and So I nearly wrecked at Daytona and the truck race, just to put this, I swear to God, I've never been more excited to see the Georgia-Florida line in my life. I was so ready to get out of Florida. But I get to the infield care center after the wreck at Daytona, and my arms are already covered up in, you know, gauze and stuff like that. They're looking at me like, what the hell happened to you? It was an exciting speed weeks, for sure.
That was an awesome story. That was great.
Yeah, I'm about to get Spencer back for that one.
Yes, please do. All right, so you mentioned you're heading to Dover this in a couple weeks. That's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. 2019 season, young motorsports, younger group of guys, but looks like, man, there's a lot to be excited about with that camp.
There really is. Young motorsports has put up so much effort in the past couple months leading up to the season and such like that. You know, I mean, they've always been a great group of guys, and they've just really put forth the effort, really gotten down to the grind and gotten that program in the direction it needs to go, I feel like. And I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm excited to be a part of that. And I really think that we're going to have something to show as the season goes on. You know, like I said, the luck has to change after a while. And when it does, you know, we'll really be able to show where we feel we could be. And I think that that we're going to surprise a lot of people and have a lot of fun doing it. And hopefully we'll be hearing a lot more out of Young's Motorsports in the future.
That's awesome, man. Gus, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
I'm at Gus Dean on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and also Gus Dean Racing on Facebook. You know, even more so than that, though, my sponsor is LG Air Conditioning Technologies. They're posting about us all the time. We do giveaways. You know, they're a great company. Everybody knows LG. They make the best TVs and, I mean, everything like that in the world. Well, they're into air conditionings, and the air conditioners are right there with all the rest of the products. They're awesome.
That's cool.
We use them all the time. I'm a very hot nature person, so I like to be cold. And so it fits in perfectly. They're great people, and they're always doing giveaways, keeping updates during the race and stuff like that. So definitely give those guys a follow as well.
That's awesome, man. Gus, this was a lot of fun. I'll be at MIS doing this live in August, man. I'm going to have to get you in there, and we'll do something in person, man, if you're up for it.
I would love to. Sounds like a blast. I've had a great time. I really appreciate being on.
Absolutely, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Gus Dean, driver the number 12 Silverado with Young Motorsports. Man, thanks for coming on the show. Good luck in a couple weeks at Dover, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Man. Yep. Oh, I am not going to lie. My side was hurting. I was laughing so hard during that with Gus telling his story there about scooter racing in Daytona. That was awesome. That was a lot of fun to talk to Gus there. So awesome of Young Motorsports to get all three drivers scheduled there. That was a lot of fun. So awesome. It's incredible experiences. I love it. Hope you guys like it as well. All right. It's time to recap some fantasy over the off week. I'll reset the standings where we're at. And finally, it's time to get to some picks for Talladega. We have five races to go in our current top 10 standings. My uncle, Matt Crowd, with 907 in first place. In second with 899 is Greg Whited. In third with 893 is Robert Keplinger. In fourth with 892 is the MOATF podcast. In fifth with 890 is Jess Rose. In sixth with 886 is Brad Carnes. In seventh with 884 is John Entwistle. In eighth with 879 is Ted Anderson. In ninth is 858, Mr. Mick Rose. And wrapping out the top 10 is Michael Elliott with 843 points. All right. Let's get our guest picker on this week. Lap Traffic Nation, 9 weeks in to the Lap Traffic Fantasy in segment one. And after reigning the top spot, Mr. Robert Keplinger has fallen back to third and jumping up five spots to his first time as the leader of the Lap Traffic Podcast Fantasy League. My uncle, Mr. Matt Crowd, and on the line is none other than Matt Crowd. Sir, how are you this evening?
I am doing great, and I got to say right off that me leading has nothing to do with family relations.
That is a true story. It is it is completely regulated by Mick Rose, who everyone likes to give a little crap to for thinking that there's collusion, but there is absolutely zero collusion in the Lab Traffic Fantasy League. So four races to go with the All-Star bonus. So you got five races left. What is your strategy as you head into Talladega?
I don't have strategy. I'm just hoping that my 2 weeks, we talked earlier, I got 2 weeks as the leader because they were off last week.
Oh, that's true. And so by default, you're a leader for 2 weeks in a row.
Right, and my biggest prediction right now is that will end this week.
Well, you are in the lead, but unfortunately, it is not sizable. It is only an 8-point lead over second place with Greg Whited. So, yes,
right.
It is.
And we're going to Talladega.
You're going to Talladega. That's right. Yes. What do you say, sir? You ready to make some picks?
Sure, let's make some picks.
Let's do it. We are headed to Talladega for the first time this season and the second plate race of 2019. Lap Traffic Nation, when I look at the trends, Ford has owned Talladega winning the last 7 in a row and 8 of the last 9. Of those 8 Ford wins, 6 belong to some team called Team Penske. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of them or not. One of them, Joey Logano, won the spring race last year. Now, who was that random Chevy I talked about? Oh, that would be some guy by the name of Dale Jr., the last Chevy to win at Talladega back in May of 2015. No mention of Toyota, really. They've only got 3 wins at the track overall, most recent being Denny Hamlin back in May of 2014. And you've got to go all the way back to 2008 when Toyota swept the races at Dega with Tony Stewart and Kyle Busch. Are you ready for this? Dodge has won a race between the last 2 Toyota wins. Man, can anyone take advantage and avoid the big one and knock Team Penske and Joe Gibbs off their current hot streak? We will find out this Sunday. But first, it is time for our picks. Uncle Matt, who you got for the Xfinity Series?
Gee, with all that history, I might want to take Donnie Allison in the AMC Matador.
Oh, wow. Oh, we're going old school there. Wow.
Well, that's how we roll.
Yeah, yeah. Who you got?
I was looking at some stats, and what struck me was that in the Xfinity, 28 of the 38 drivers at Daytona all finished on the lead lap.
So look at you doing some homework.
I know, right? So what happened to the big one then?
Right.
So that's the whole thing. We're talking Talladega, so, you know, give me whoever isn't in the big wreck.
So who do you got?
I'm going to go off a little bit. Favorite's got to be Allgaier or Bell. Riddick does well at the place. But just for the big wreck factor, I'm going to go off the board a little bit and take 22, Austin Cindric.
Austin Cindric, I like that pick. Very nice. All right, let's move over to the Cup Series, sir. Sorry, I got to give my pick. I'm going with Justin Allgaier because it doesn't matter who I pick because whoever I do, they're going to bust. So I'm going with Justin Allgaier.
Me really glad that I didn't take Allgaier.
Well, and that's the funny thing. I felt bad for Rob Keplinger. He was in the lead doing well. He called in. We had the same picks, all 3 series. Guess who's not in first place anymore?
right.
All right, over to the Cup Series, Sarah. Who are you taking?
Well, last week I was thinking 2s, and Cindric is 22, and Penske does so well. I want to take 2, Keselowski, but saying he's going to get involved in something. So I'm going with 22 again, Joey Logano.
Joey Logano. Good call not going with your gut feeling because I am going with Bad Brad. Why not? I might as well try to get something out of this nonsense. So good call there. So you should be safe. We will see how you do. Lap Traffic Nation, those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Sir, thank you so much for calling in, and who knows, maybe we will talk to you again next week.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah, all right, we'll see you. Oh, normally I don't have to re-loop the music for the picks in twice, but I did there. Wonder why. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 123. This one was a lot of fun. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out the Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers on Twitter. Big thanks to Spencer Boyd, Gustine, Tyler Dipple from Young Motorsports, as well as Matt Crowd and Aaron Studwell for calling into the show tonight. Next week, setting the preview for Dover, where all 3 series will be back. I can't overwork Aaron, so next week, 2 weather guys, Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf, will be joining me as well. As Mr. Todd Gilliland from Kyle Busch Motorsports. Can't wait for that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!